God has been doing some amazing things, and he's not done yet. And so I'm so excited. How many people in here, you weren't able to come to one of the sessions during the time? You guys are in for a treat. I'm telling you right now. What the Lord is doing, Papa Jack, for those who don't know, he's my spiritual father, Kelly's spiritual father, really a father of this house. And we don't say that lightly. You have to understand the importance of the father-son paradigm in the kingdom and what that looks like. And because of his victories and his inheritance and his legacy, as we've come underneath his covering as a papa, all those victories become our victories and become our story and our history. And God did a mighty move back in the 70s, but he's not done with that in San Antonio to Austin region. We really believe, and you guys are part of it right now. We saw something yesterday morning. We had a group of leaders, pastors, leaders from the region that were here, and Papa just imparted them, him and Mama Frida, and I'm telling you, the kingdom has come to New Braunfels in this region, and you guys are a part of that, and it's an active call for you guys to engage with it. And I heard permission granted from the Father God to say this, is that this is not about building legacy church, but this is about extending his kingdom. And we are to be a doorway for people to enter into the kingdom. If Jesus, and he said it the other day, why did Jesus appeared through the wall on the after he rose again? Because the door doesn't need a door. He is the doorway. Okay. So if scripture says, as he is in this world, so are we. And we are to be Christ, that means we must become a door for the kingdom, for people to enter into a kingdom, encounter the kingdom realm, and it's going to require you guys to be able to step up to that next level and begin to invite people in your life to experience the fullness of the kingdom, and whether that's here at Legacy or other places, but the point of it is we must be trumpeting in this now. It's time to spread the kingdom message in all of its fullness because we owe the world that. Amen. So why don't y'all stand up and why don't y'all just give a warm welcome to our dad, Papa Jack, as he comes to bring the word.
Well, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I love it when God so comes that our presence is quite beside the point. I love that. When he is the point, we are quite beside the point. And it's all about him. I don't know whether you've found this out or not, but if you will make it all about him, he will make it seem like it's all about you. You notice that? Do you know God wants to bless you more than you know how to want to be blessed? Do you know right now, every person in this room, God has his eyes on you. His heart is toward you. This is not a crowd to him. This is a group of individuals, all of whom he knows right well. Comprende? He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking right now. And some of you are thinking, what was that? Well, let me tell you what that was. That was God. There are two facets to the presence of God. There is the omnipresence of God. That means God is everywhere. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be that way? I've tried it. I can't be but one place at the same time. It gets boring. No, it really doesn't. But I think of his being everywhere at the same time. I scheduled myself one time in two places just to see if it would work at all. I wound up not missing one and making the other one. Then there is the presence of God that is could be called his manifest presence. And what we've experienced this morning is God's manifest presence. Did you feel it? Well, you were feeling him. His presence is a person. It's not a thing. It's not an emotion. It registers with your emotion, but it's a person. Frida, we have a mic for you. Do we have a mic for Frida right quick? Yes. I have learned that when she says, I don't have anything to say, I just give her an opportunity and she says it. I know better than that when she says, I think I have something to say. And I say, hey, get up and say it. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I love to look at these wonderful faces. Some of you radiate with His glory. And that's the wonderful thing. When we are in Christ, when Christ is in us, the beauty of Him comes out of us. And it shows others, you know, what is that? Your face just glows. What is that about you? That's when they're opening up, don't even realize it. And that's when you can tell them, that is the Christ is within me, that Jesus. Do you want some of Him? And I don't know why this morning, and I believe it's Ken, is that your name? Yeah. Kenneth, is he here? He went out? Okay, well, I think there may be someone else in here that this may be for. But God had put on my heart the verse, though our sins are as red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. Can you imagine that? You know, when a red color or a blood stain, they're just so hard to get out, especially after a while. If you don't take care of that blood stain immediately with cold water, you put it in hot water and in the dryer and you will never be able to get it out again. So when our sins are red as scarlet and red as crimson, He says they shall be white as snow and white as wool. I love the snow when it first comes down. So beautiful, the purity of it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think we need to every day say, Lord, wash me anew. And every day say, I want to be anew, born from above again. Some thoughts may have slipped into my mind. I may have allowed the enemy to kind of slip into my mind during the night. So let me be anew this day again. Fill me anew with your Holy Spirit. How many of you remember the first time when Holy Spirit came on you, when you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? How many of you long for that particular moment anew? There was something about when Holy Spirit takes over. But you know, you can experience that on a continuing basis if we don't allow the enemy to sidetrack us, which he is doing so wonderfully nowadays. You know, how many of you don't have an iPhone in here, in this house right now? One, two. You can count them on one hand. The rest of us have these iPhones. We have these gadgets, and they are distracting. I have mine, yes, because I have several Bibles on mine. And also have Facebook on mine. But the reason I'm on Facebook was, number one, it was supposed to be from that I know what my children and grandchildren are saying and doing. So I know how to pray. And number two, when I post something, it is usually to be as a witness and to be encouraging others out there. We need encouragement on a daily basis, because even so, yes, the kingdom of heaven, we say, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. We are in the kingdom of the darkness, but yet we are the light, and so we cannot be overcome. We are overcomers. That's why I try to post things to encourage others out there. And so many times I get the responses, thank you so much. That's just what I needed today. I had a bad day. This is just the word for me. Okay? And the Lord said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that... Oh, all of a sudden I'm drawing a blank. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Think about this. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and that's on a daily basis, by the renewing of your mind. Because our mind is the one that controls our behavior. So I think those two verses are always good to know. That we do not conform to the things that are out there in the world. We want to identify. We want to belong. But let's not belong to the world. Let's not belong to the kingdom of darkness. Let us belong to the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen? Amen. So let the Lord fill you anew with his spirit continuously. Every day in the morning, say, Lord, fill me again this day so that I can be a pleasure unto you. That you will find joy in my life. As your child, I want to please you. I want to be a pleasure unto you. And I thank you that you are willing to draw me ever closer into your presence. You know, we think about, you cannot just get into the presence of the president if he comes to town. There are guards, there is security, and they won't just let you run to him and hug him. But God, who is over everybody, over everything, over the whole cosmos, who is holy, he says, just come, come and seek my face. And if we seek his face, delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. And then he will come down and just hug you and surround you with his love. With that, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Can you see that? His face shining on you. And be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. What is greater than peace in the turmoil of everything? You have that peace within you. So thank you so much for receiving us. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who let us know the secret of his life. He was born again of the Father. He was committed to do the Father's will. He did only what he saw you do and said only what he heard you say. And that was his life, and that was his secret. And it's our secret. I pray that every person in this room who doesn't know you will come to know you in the next few minutes. I pray that every person who knows you will awaken to the glories of having a Savior who not only died for them, but who lives in them right now. By your Spirit. And if the same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives in us, he will quicken our mortal bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. Because we've had some of those experiences, and get used to it. Get used to God thinking that since you've come to worship him, it might be all right if he does something that's not on the program. In fact, there will be times when I remember when God so visited our church. We just were excited about what was next. I remember one night we were dealing with demons. By the way, you need to know that the one thing Jesus mentioned that was living proof of the present tense of the kingdom on earth, he said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. You say, well, I don't want any of that. Well, you don't want the kingdom then. See, our church is rather large, getting larger, and we got known as that church that casts out demons. Castle Hills Baptist Church. Castle Hills was enough. I mean, that was rather floozy at the time. Baptist Church, that's the rest of it. We just don't do that here. Until the kingdom comes, and God does anything he wants to do. And you will take a major step forward when you say, okay, God, I'll change and do what you want to do. Okay? And that's very important. So, I think I just want to have a family talk with you. Is that all right? And if I can get this seat at the right height, I'll sit on it. It needs to be raised up about 4 inches. There you go. Yeah, that's good. Okay, good. Okay. There are two scriptures that we've been dealing with this week. And by the way, if you were here last night, I think it was the strangest experience I've had in probably... a dozen years. And I really didn't know what to do with it. I really didn't. I was feeling some things so deeply. And I asked God right then, I said, you need to explain this as soon as you can, if you please. Because I expect to know what it was that happened last night in the morning. And let me just say this to you. There are times when God seizes you with a mystery. And the worst thing you can do is to try to figure it out. That's the reason it's a mystery. And if you will receive the mystery in the timing that he desires, he will let you know what it was about. And I want to tell you what it was about. It was about the fact that God is moving first in this fellowship. Some of you are not in it. I think most of you would be, more probably proportionately than any service this week. And there's some of you that need to be, some of you that ought to be. You walked in and thought it was a matter of choice about where you're going. And God says, listen, you'll go where I... If you want to go with me, you'll go where I go. It's not an issue of you're asking me to be with you. I'm asking you to be with me. Who's going to win on that one? So, I was aware last night that probably, maybe 30% of the people here were not a part of this fellowship. Would that be about right, you think? Maybe even a few more. And God just shut me down on the way that I thought I was going. And this is what I heard. I'm using this church to give direction for an area. And God is moving you into a type of church that is going to be followed, not copied or emulated. It's going to be a leader church among the people. And the reason is a discovery of the kingdom of God. Now, that's just not one of the great subjects of the Bible. It is the narrative of the Bible. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation 22. The kingdom of God is God being God. There's nothing bigger than the kingdom. Nothing beside the kingdom. Nothing after the kingdom. Nothing below or above the kingdom. The kingdom is all of reality. Okay? And you'll understand that when you understand it. Don't worry until then. Just take somebody's word for it. That sounds like they might know what they're talking about. So, Kelly's been picking us up most of the services because the pastor has something to do to get ready for the service. And this morning she texted me and said, I would like a few minutes with you. Do you mind my? And I just immediately, I said, sure. Actually, she called because I don't look at my texts in the morning. So then I turned and she had texted. So we arranged for her to get there a little early. And she opened her mouth and I knew in 2 seconds that she was there to confirm what I was sensing in the Spirit. Now, you know what that means? That means that God knows what's going on everywhere with everybody all the time, every time. This kingdom we're a part of is interconnected, totally interconnected. Now, we're picking that up in the realities of time and space and all the studies. A butterfly can flap its wings in Los Angeles and over in Timbuktu. Something happens as a result of that. I mean, that's the kingdom. And her issue was simply this. I cannot be on the sidelines. I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing. I cannot just be associated with somebody who's going on. I am going on. And that was it. Now, what she did, she thought was for her. But it was for me. You understand that? And so it confirmed something. Just what I told you. This church is going somewhere. If you're not interested in going, I would join a high steeple, few people church, and die there. It's just that's the way it's going to be. I wasn't ugly with my people at Castle Hills when God began to relate to me what He was about to do, and I said, look, that this is where we're going, and I don't know where we're going. But we're going with Him. And if you don't want to go, I can't be ugly with you. Because everybody's got a choice. God's not ugly with you when you say no to Him. He's grieved because He knows how rich He wants to make you in every realm. He wants to put you on a track that I call eternal upward mobility. Do you have a feeling... I've never heard that before. God gave it to me some time ago. Eternal upward mobility, which means you're never gonna stop being better and getting closer and knowing more and being more joyful. Never. Eternal upward mobility. Much of the church is locked into a pattern that was created by a previous generation. And we get mad at anybody who acts like they're going to take us out of what our daddy and mama went through and did. And I'm a Baptist. By George, I'm going to die a Baptist. No, you're not. You're dead already. Not because you're a Baptist, but because you refuse to be alive. Get this. This is scripture. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He will also quicken our mortal bodies. And I'll tell you what's happening right now. From over here, all through here, all through here, He is working on your mortal body. And your mortal body contains a whole lot more than you know. It contains a mind. It contains in that mind the capacity to think and reason. You also have a soul. You have a will. A mind is a part of that soul. You have emotions. And you have physical issues. And when God touches you, He doesn't just touch you in one place. He touches you all over in every way. Now, I noticed when I took the elements of, we used to call it the Lord's Supper, and it was the Lord's Supper. We were afraid of communion because that sounded woo-woo. It kind of made people feel, communion? What's that? Catholics do that. Well, they're right. When I fellowship with truth and He asks me to go through a formula, it is not that I get blessed from a ritual, but I get blessed from what that stands for, the life and death and power of the person of Jesus Christ. Did you feel anything when you took it? Well, it happened whether you felt it or not, but sometimes it's just a blessing to feel it. So I won't ask you to answer this visibly because you'd be maybe embarrassed. Did you feel something happen since this service began? No. You didn't feel anything? I'd check with the Lord on that if I were you. I'm not being unkind. But you've been in the presence of God, not just omni. You're omni in His omnipresence all the time. But as God can trust us to manage His manifest presence, He will show up and show off and show out. He likes to do that. Last time I checked, God loved to talk and He loved to show up and He loved to do His thing. He just loves it because, I mean, if you're who you ought to be, you enjoy being who you are, and God is God and He enjoys being God to the extent that He's a very happy God. There's one statement, I believe it's in 1 Timothy, that says the gospel of the happy God, the gospel of the blessed God. God is a happy God. And if I were you, look at me right here. If I were you, I'd say, if I weren't happy, I'd say, God, one of us is wrong. You're wrong to be happy, or I'm wrong to be unhappy. Let's get this thing right. You say, well, I'm just not the happy type. I'm sort of passive. No, that's not true. That's not true. That's why you learn to be. You picked up somebody else's passivity or whatever it is. And you know, some people are just born to gripers and they gripe. Yeah. It's just, they're not ugly. They're not worth less than somebody else. They just gripe because they're gripers. Somebody asked a lady, do you wake up grouchy? She said, no, most of the time I just let him sleep. And when you know yourself as having been identified with a description that you don't like, I would say, Lord, where'd I get that? I didn't get it from you because you're not an irritating God. You're not out of humor. You're not ugly. You're not gossipy. Where'd I get that? Well, hey, if God gave you something, the devil can't take it away. But if the devil gave you something, God can take it away anytime you're ready to part with it. So that's happening to you right now. It's right now. So let's just look at healing. How many of you are aware that there is something in you that is slightly or seriously out of order? I'm talking about a cold or something that you'd be happy to give up. Your body is not entirely well. Would you raise your hand if that's so? congratulations to you few who nothing is wrong. I'm going to pray that God makes something wrong so you'll be able to realize how well you are. See, God doesn't give you sickness, but you're going to get sick because you live in the world and you have a mortal body. But the only reason for you to get sick, get this now, I'll prove it. I could prove it, but if you just go ahead and believe it, we'll have a better time quicker. Okay? Just take me at his word. You're going to have times when you get a cold. And it'd be easy to explain. Somebody's germ whopped on you and it happened. You've got a cold. But the only reason you got a cold, which is a disorder, is to bring you into order. Because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you joined a situation, a world, a culture, if you please, of eternal upward mobility. So, how many of you right now have something slightly or seriously wrong? Doesn't make any difference how big or how little or how whatever. It may be cancer. Degrees of illness are nothing to God. He can cure a little skin infection and a cancer at the same time. And not even notice which is which. And where the problem is your faith. And so if you have faith in God, he's real big and that covers everything. So cancer and everything else. So God right now is working in your body. What is it that he's working on? We'll just handle it one at a time. We don't need to know, but we're gonna do something. If there is something, if we had time to ask and get the answer, if there is something that you'd like to see happen somewhere in the frame of your mortal body, maybe in your mind, a way of thinking, worry, anxiety, fear, self-consciousness, anger, spite, or jealousy, or any of those things, those are disorders. Say it with me. Disorders. Okay. When God created... Good. Did I hear something? Good. Okay. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created it incomplete at first, or there was a fall because there was darkness and chaos. Remember? The world was in chaos, darkness, and God spoke, and God moved, and God brought order out of disorder. And we're going to ask him to do that today. Now, the ultimate disorder is being disconnected from God. You know the worst thing about hell? God won't be there. It's the absence of God and the absence of everything God. We shouldn't have to say another thing. Can you imagine waking up and God is gone? He can't. He won't. You can't make him hear you. And that's the ultimate. You can get saved right now. So if you have a disorder, I want you to stand up. Oh, we would look at this through our eyes and say, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, everybody's got a disorder. Well, of course. But the good thing about that, everybody right now can connect with the God who is a God of order. And when we say, you don't even have to pray about what's happening. You don't have to pray about your knee ache or cancer or cold or anything else. All you need to do, as far as I'm able to determine, is this. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, say it, Our Father. Now, you know what that says? You're talking to somebody who knows everything about you and loves you even then. And loves you enough to give his son, having done it, to die for you. And has arranged that that son, in the person of the Holy Spirit, now lives in your mortal body. Lives in your body. Where? In every cell. So that's how close you are to healing. He's all in you, everywhere. And he wants to touch you. In fact, he is. And then Jesus said, Our Father in heaven, your name be hallowed, set apart as the only one like you in the whole universe. Nobody like you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then your kingdom come. How many of you know that disease is not a part of the kingdom of God? It is an encroacher. It is an enemy. It is a disorder in the midst of a powerful order. Okay? Now, your standing means that you expect God to touch you. Well, he's already touching you. Tell you the truth, he's already done it. You say, how'd you know? Well, I happen to have read the Bible. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he's heard us, we know we have it. Wow. So you've probably already prayed for what's wrong with you. He answered you. Well, when in the world am I going to know about it? When you believe his word. He said, you pray my will and I hear your prayer. And if I hear your prayer, you have it. So right now, you just point to that thing in your mind and just give it a name if you need to. And we're going to just pray together. Your kingdom come. You ready? The Lord, just alert our faith. Just let us get it across that faith is believing you've done it. And that's hope, which is a thing we're certain of without having to see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, or anything else. We believe it. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, in heaven, your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. On earth, as it is in heaven. Thank you very much. But sometime when you're in a healing protocol, you ask people, did you sense something happening? And often they'll say, not really. And it may take a minute. It may take a day. I think I used a little story about myself. You can be seated now. By the way, God's touching you. He's touching you. He has touched you. But I gave this illustration, and where's the person that had the watermelon allergy? There he is. That's weird. That's weird. I love watermelon. I would really get busy praying for God to heal me because I love watermelon. I would have watermelon every day. But how many of you remember my story about my asthma? So I was writing the book on Much More, I think. Much More, or I believe it's Much More. In the middle of a chapter, I was writing on the much more. By the way, there's a much more of everything. If you have faith, there's a much more. If you have love, there's a much more. If you fuss, there's much more. You You fuss, you get fuss. Yeah, you get criticism, you give criticism, you get it. And so the Lord spoke to me just out of the blue. And those days, I wasn't hearing a lot from God. I thought God talked infrequently. But he said something so clear, it registered with me, and I talked back. And he said, I am going to heal you of your asthma. I was having asthma. I mean, have you ever had asthma? Okay, a dozen probably. Well, do you like it? I didn't have it bad, but every time I had it, I didn't like it. I didn't like it any at all. It wasn't life-threatening. It wasn't going to kill me. But it was going to inconvenience me in trying to sleep. If I went to bed with asthma, and I would wake up wheezy. And it's like you swallowed a spoonful of straw and it got stuck in your craw. That's about it. And so you go, and so I was having asthma. I had it in the fall of the year from breathing cool air or from laughing too much. When I got tickled, you need more oxygen when you laugh and you grab for oxygen. And that's when it made its run in my life. So I said, well, that's good, Lord. I'm glad. You're going to heal me. Nothing happened. I still had asthma. And it was as if God said, you need to believe me when I talk to you. And you need to believe that I want to heal you. I said, well, I took that, Lord. I don't think you would have said it if you intended to deny me healing. And I said, okay, I believe you do. It was as if God said, you're going to have to believe it. Something different, something more. I said, well, I'm in. Hey. And he said, I want you to believe that I can. I said, I don't have any problem with that. So I just believed it. I believe you can. But I was still wheezy. And it was as if God said, you're going to have to believe more. I said, okay, more. I'm ready. He said, you're going to have to believe that I will. Want to, can, will. Okay? Well, I said, hey, I'm in. I believe you. I know you want to. You said you want to. You said you're going to, and you don't do anything you don't want to do. And I believe you can, and I believe you will. Whoopee. And I still had asthma. Have you ever heard of the fight of faith? Yeah, anything worth keeping is worth fighting over. See? And the enemy doesn't like faith. God loves faith as much as more than the devil hates it, but the devil hates it. Okay, so here comes the kicker. God says you're going to have to believe something else. And it's going to worry you for a minute because you think, well, God is not that technical. Hey, he may not be technical, but he's right. Okay? And it was as if he was saying, there's one more thing. I said, okay, what is it? I want you to believe that I have. And I said, wonderful, Lord. I'll believe you have when you do. He said, it doesn't work like that. Do you remember him saying, whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Now, Lord, that really doesn't make sense. Don't try that on God. You know what you might hear? You know why it doesn't make sense? Because you don't have sense enough to make sense of it. I said, okay, Lord, you have. I still had asthma. It didn't worry me. I was just having an exercise with God and really nothing to lose except keep my asthma. But I said, okay, God, I believe you want to, you can, you will, and you have. So I marched myself in to go to bed. Everybody else was in bed. I'd written past the midnight hour, I think. And I reached over and got my asthma medicine. We called it in those days, it was a little vial of spray, and you could spray a couple of times and be free of that particular episode of asthma. And so I just automatically picked the thing up and swept it in my hand and started to bed. And God checked me and said, excuse me, did you say you were healed? Yes, you told me to believe it. What are you doing with the asthma medicine? I said, well, just in case. It doesn't work like that. You have or you haven't. Are you going to walk the faith road, or are you waiting for the tangibility, the visible proof, the touching it, the having it? You see, faith is seizing something before you get it so that you can have it. He said, I don't understand that. Well, good. You can accept it by faith. See? So I left that vial of medicine on the dresser and laid down and started sleeping with asthma. Up until then, I could sleep a few minutes at a time, wake up wheezing, getting my breath, and by the next morning, had nothing been taken, I would have pain all the way through here, all the way to my back. And if I kept doing that, it would get worse and worse, and I'd be sick. So I had a decision to make. I laid down and wheezed and said, praise the Lord, I'm healed. Still had asthma. I'd say, hallelujah, I'm healed. Now that's it sounds like idiocy. But look at me. I must have done it 15, 20 times. Through the night, in the morning, I don't know when I went to sleep, slept like a baby, but I woke up and I did not have asthma. Look at me. I have never had asthma since, and that has been 60 some years ago. You see. Now, when he told me about his watermelon allergy, that he had heard that, and God healed him of that allergy. God's healing somebody here right now of allergy. How many of you are standing for an allergy? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. I pronounce you healed. This woman that I married, when I married her, she had a back problem. In fact, I think she went to a doctor after our first 30-minute date. And the doctor, I don't know, the same doctor, but the doctor ultimately told her she's going to have surgery. She decided to believe God. And every time somebody asked her about her pain, she would say, I am walking out my healing. Now, when was she healed? When she asked God to heal her. You say, that doesn't make sense to me. Okay, just remember, you don't have enough sense to make sense of it. Okay. So God's healing you right now. Some of you have a residual pain. God's healing it. He has healed it. It's not a mind game. It's not semantics. God is doing it. He loves to heal. Somebody said, well, I mean, I brought this up to a theologian. Wrong. I said, well, is healing in the atonement? Is healing a part of the blessing of God? No. Theologian's report. No. It's okay. I believe otherwise. In fact, tell you the truth, I believe everything is in the atonement. Everything is in Jesus. So walk in healing. I do not understand when somebody is not healed. God takes some of them to heaven. I don't understand. But I'd rather celebrate those who are healed than be mystified and let it damage my faith on those that are not. Would you agree on that? So just let him do his work and not attach your doubt to it. And just say, I'm believing God for my healing, and he is healing me right now. Okay? Now, this is family business, and if you're not a part of the family, you take this back to the family you're a part of. And if the family you're a part of doesn't believe it, you find you a family that does believe it, because what I'm going to tell you is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Are you ready? Jesus Christ said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And they had asked him about last things and his schedule. And he said, what is important is that the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, they're not two gospels. But this term, the gospel of the kingdom, refers to that part of the gospel that carries with it the absolute supremacy of God, the rule of God, the government of God. And we've preached the gospel of the atonement. We've preached the gospel of gifts. All of that. And we've received the gifts, and we've received the gladness, and we've received the forgiveness. But friend, the closing ages of this world will close upon the learning of the world about the rule and government of God, the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, this is going to be tough, because you're expecting something that very profound, and you're going to think, well, that's simple. Here's the gospel of the kingdom. God rules. Okay, what else? Ain't anything else. God rules. It's important that God loves, but if God didn't rule, his love would have a limit. It's good to believe that God is sovereign. It's good to believe all these things, but hey, his rule is active and effective and eternal. And when you joined his kingdom, you joined a kingdom of someone who rules the earth. And every time you pray, your kingdom come, you are praying, your kingdom come in me today, right now, this moment. And the church is learning that gospel, and the church is about to be absolutely transformed. And I'm looking at some people that are not getting it. I'm not angry with you. You're going to get it. Because I'm going to turn loose the message, and God's going to get you. One of my sons, he hadn't been a wayward son, but he just hadn't pursued me. And I got on him and I said, look, I told you to start with, among my hundreds of sons, you can have all of me you want. But evidently you haven't wanted me much, because I haven't heard from you in months. And I said, let me tell you something. And I reared back and I let him have about 5 minutes of kingdom truth. And he said, I've not heard anything like that in my life. And later on he called me and said, Papa, I think I'm getting it. I said, no, you're not getting it. It's getting you. You just turned and act like you wanted it, and it started getting you. And there was a collision, and all of a sudden you were blown to kingdom come. And that's what's going to happen to you. Yeah. Now, let's suppose you're in a church where the kingdom is never mentioned, the family is never mentioned, fathers and sons are never mentioned, the body of Christ is a family, just they haven't got it. Well, stay there as long as you feel there's hope that they'll get it if they can see it in you. And infect everybody you can infect with the kingdom virus. Just get it. And pray, God, make me worse. Just make me more severe. Let me have a kingdom. Let me have the kingdom virus to the extent that I'm infectious within 40 feet of anybody. And I believe that's so. So that's the reason I come here. Every time I come here. How many years have I been coming? Now this is fourth, I think. Now, anyway. That's the reason I come. Because I know a man who took a papa as papa and took me up on my deal, and he calls me often. And often, I don't know which one, I think he says, is this a good time to talk? And I say, there is no bad time for a papa to talk to his son. So if I'm involved in something I can't turn loose, we can get to it quickly. He listens, and he is growing. He is growing in every way. He is on the trail of eternal upward mobility. And you can get on that trail if you're not immediately. It's open to you. Just as sure as you can be healed in a second, you can get in on the kingdom in a second. But you won't get in on it until you recognize how important it is and that it's open to you and that you don't have to be worthy of anything. You don't have to fill out a questionnaire. You don't have to go through a board of certification. You can say yes to God and the kingdom, already having been in your name, your inheritance. And I repeat these things every time they come to me because somebody didn't get it last time. Little children, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He is in a giving mood. If you don't have the kingdom in operation, it's because you haven't asked him, because the minute you ask him, he starts it. Now listen, it's not just a matter of asking it and getting it. When you get it, you got his program for your life to every detail, and all you need to do is ask him what he wants to do with your life in the next season, in the next moment, and here it is. Here's the rule. Here's the rule that ties you into eternal upward mobility. Is there anybody who needs more explanation about what eternal upward mobility means? If you got a job, you're going to get more next month. You're going to get a raise. If you got a feeling, you're going to have better feelings. If you got a mystery, it's going to be explained. Everything needs to be getting better. And if something is bad, then it happened so you get something better in the place you didn't realize how bad it was that you had bad. Never heard myself say that before. Well, some of you are just bad, and the reason you're bad is you've accepted bad as the norm. Well, I just don't have any energy. Okay, why? You know why you don't have energy? In all probability, you have not because you ask not. And if you got an answer to it, you'd use the energy on something less than the kingdom. And so you're high and dry. Does that make any sense to anybody? Don't look at me like that. I see it. If I can get you a little mad, I can get you to listen. How are you? Oh, I'm good. You don't know how good you are. If you're in God, you're so good that God wants to dump heaven in big wads all over you. Well, I didn't know that. I wasn't sure God noticed me. Well, he notices you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. And he's just blessing you all the time. And it's just rolling off because you're stuck in a pursuit of former things and getting some of them. Now, I've preached on this already, so you preached on that last time you stood up. And you'll hear me again, you'll probably hear me again preach the same thing, because we need to hear it about 22 times before we get it. And so, if you'll get this, he'll begin to give you truth at a level that will frighten you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we've talked a little bit about that. When you get God, when you seek the kingdom, when you begin to search for the kingdom, and in about 5 minutes, I'm going to just give you a little formula and turn you loose after I pray an impartation prayer on you. Now, When I come to a time like that, it isn't that I've forgotten my lines. I'm just thinking about what's next after I say what's next. His righteousness is not what he has, it's what he is. He is a right God. He speaks right, he looks right, he thinks right, he is right. And everything in opposition to that is unrighteousness. And unrighteousness means you will not see God. And we will find righteousness when we find God. And we will find God when we seek Him. So let me just say some things you've heard me say before, if you've heard me at all. We will never seek what we cannot see. And so you say, well, what does the kingdom look like? I don't know, but when you see it, you'll know you saw it. Yeah. Little children, if you become as little children, unless you do, you'll not see the kingdom of God. So I pray that you see it. I pray that you see the kingdom. I've already prayed that you'd see the kingdom. Okay, I don't see anything. Okay, I've got a little secret. Going to give you one word on how to see the kingdom. Papa Jack has preached to you on the kingdom, and you're trying to figure out what it is you're looking for. Okay, here we go. Look! Everybody who looks for the kingdom will see it. I guarantee you. If you don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about, I want to prophesy over you right now. If you will believe what I just said, within 24 hours, I'd be safe to say within 2 hours, but just give myself more room. I guarantee you that in 24 hours, something will happen in your mind, around you, or in your system of thought or behavior or exercise, anywhere in your life. Something is going to happen. You're going to say, wow. That was nice. That was coincidence. And that's what you'd have called it before. Oh, I think that's what Papa Jack was talking about. Maybe that was a kingdom sighting. So that's a part of your issue. I want you to look for the kingdom. Okay? How many of you have read my book on cosmic initiative? That's a frightful little number. I want you to read my lips. Where Papa Jack is the papa, the people in the church read his books. Are you just trying to sell books? No, I'm going to give you some books. If you haven't read it and you were going to order it and pay for it, be honest with me. And you'll say, well, I was about to order it. I'm going to give it to you. Send it to you. It's free. I will pay my organization what it costs, and you'll have my book. Now look at it. I want you to read the book. What I tell you in that book has altered my life. I went to great pains and trouble to write it because I'm convinced it will change your mind and your life if you will read it. And you know where I learned it? I learned it from folks like Miles Monroe and E. Stanley Jones and a dozen others. I have in this book something I've never seen in a book before, and that is what I call an annotated bibliography. Isn't that sweet? I don't know what that means, but I thought you'd be interested in it. It means a list of books with an explanation about why you need to read them. I am always reading a book on the kingdom. Always. The one I'm reading right now is written by a name of somebody I never knew, somebody I didn't know existed, somebody whose name I can't even read and pronounce right. But they're writing on the kingdom, and I'm investigating it. Big fat book about like that. And I want you to get on a reading thing. Now, the greatest book ever written on the kingdom. Guess what it is? The Bible. Get you a concordance. Find out how many times the word kingdom is mentioned, particularly in the New Testament. About 154 times. About 100 times, 130. Jesus mentioned the kingdom. He started out preaching the kingdom. John the Baptist preaching the kingdom. He ordered his people to preach the kingdom. What in the world were they preaching? Might it, if it was right for him to preach it, might it be right for you to believe it and chase it? Paul spent the last 2 years of his life before what he knew was going to happen happened, and that was his head was separated from his body. He was beheaded and preached the gospel in a rented house for 2 years of the kingdom of God. Most important thing you'll ever do. Excuse me, I didn't mean to raise my voice. I do that because I get so intense. I want you to get hold of this thing in your being. The more I think about the kingdom, the more I'm excited about heaven. No hurry to get there, because I want to stay here as long as I can to see that a lot of people enjoy heaven on earth on the way there. I want to get the church happy. And that's where I live. Was anybody conscious of the fact that you got a touch a while ago when we prayed and a pain left you, or you just got a sensation I'm healed? Would you just raise your hand? Look at there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good. Okay, well, go get more healed. And the rest of you, stand in your belief. Stand in your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And don't take that as a negative and say, oh. Just say, God, I want to believe you. I believe you. You know how much Job believed him? He said, though he kill me, I'm going to believe him. God, you just got me on your hands. I'm going to believe you, believe you, believe you, believe you. And you're going to be the one embarrassed if you don't do it. Okay. I'm not selling this. But the first 10 people that report over there, I'm going to send you one. So send me your address. I'm sending it to you free. I'll pay the postage. I'll pay everything. Now, if you're not among the first 10, I'll enlarge it. So just go ahead and put your name down, but you'll be number 11, 12, 13, 25, whatever. I may just write you and tell you, I want $250 for the book. Unlikely. But I'm serious about you reading the book, okay? I want everybody prayed here. I want everybody prayed for before you leave. And Frida and I will be here. I want people posted at the doors so that nobody can get by without being prayed for. Now, this is not time for counseling. This is a time for laying on of hands. And the purpose of laying on of hands is to transmit from heaven the love that you need for the kingdom in order to pursue it. So you're going to be smitten with something if you'll allow it to happen and let it grow, whoever prays for you. I know you'd rather have me pray for you because you think I know something about the kingdom. That has nothing to do with it. God wants you to impart to others what he has for them because you're thrilled with what he's given to you. And that's the way it works. So if you can get people at every door, and we'll be here, and we'll pray for each other, and we'll receive an anointing to pursue the kingdom, a heart to seek the kingdom. And I expect to come back in a year, maybe before. We may have to do this more often just to take care of what needs to happen. And because things are about to explode. Are you aware? It's going to explode, folks. God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry, but we're way behind. And what he did formerly in a week, he's going to do in a day. What he did in a week is what he did in a year. He's going to do it in a month or in less time. So stand up with me. I want to pray over you, and then Frieda and I will be here, and others, whichever way you're walking out. And just call people you want to pray with us up here. Everybody at the door. We have an elder or somebody praying at the door, men and women, whatever. See, I just don't want you to get out. Just don't slap them and say, I don't want to be prayed for. Just go ahead and walk out. They'll touch you anyway, okay? Now, I'm preaching tonight. What time am I preaching tonight? I'm preaching 5:15 at Kingdom Life Fellowship. Is that in Alamo Heights? Somewhere, okay. Okay, guess what I'm preaching on? I'm not going to preach an identical sermon. They're not ready for it. But I'm going to preach on what God gives me. Okay? And somewhere probably the kingdom will slip in there somewhere. Let me see if I have any notes on this in this book. Don't think so. I'm going to give this to somebody who promised to read it in a month. Just gave my only book away. Lift out your hand. I want to pray for you. God is touching you right now with his desires about his will and his kingdom. It's going to come on you. I'm not trying to mesmerize you or hypnotize you. I'm telling you the truth. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and he's been trying to give it to you ever since you were born. Now let him do it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what this church means in this whole area. Thank you for all these pastors and people who came this week. Thank you for everybody all over this town who means business with the gospel. Show them fathers so orphans can get de-orphanized, and all of them have an orphanectomy. Just get rid of orphanism that's controlling their lives, and let churches become families and lives become kingdom seekers and the family of God. I pray that people will find fathers and mothers and find brothers and sisters and be a part of a massive, wonderful family that will take the world as an army of love. So come in Jesus' name. Come in Jesus' name. And I just want to give you praise in advance for what's happening here. Hallelujah. Just kind of breathe in. Just go. Breathe out. Breathe in. You remember when Jesus came in after he rose again? Walked in, and I guess 11 there. I think that's what I figured. And he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And he said, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm doing right now in behalf of Jesus, who's doing the breathing from within you. Your life is in me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as we sit down, some in restaurants to eat, some on the way home. God is breathing on them. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.